Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Unitarian Universalism, we pride ourselves on being a reality-based religious tradition. And throughout the years, we have often given ourselves to science over myth and tradition. And today I think that as we have leaned that way much, we may have leaned that way too much. On this Easter day, certainly myth and symbols come to our mind, and for many of us, the myth and symbols may not bring pleasure or may not bring happiness. They may bring memories of times that were not so, and times of leaving different churches, and times of saying, those myths, those symbols, and those memories are no longer for me. And we have put those aside. But today I'd like us to reconsider myth and symbols, because sometimes I think we get confused when we hear about a myth and we hear about a symbol, that we, in a way, we get caught up in the myth and symbol and we lose its meaning and we lose the purpose of its origin. All myths and symbols are born in concrete reality. It has to be so, because they are born out of our minds. They are born out of a historical situation. Myths and symbols serve a purpose, and the purpose that myths and symbols serve are to bring enlightenment and communicate ideas in a cultural setting at that present time. Myths and symbols, they are born in a concrete reality, and they have a completion, and they are completed when they return to a concrete reality with new information, with new meaning, with a sense of enlightenment, with a better understanding. There's a danger when we get caught up in a symbol or a myth and we don't bring it back to a concrete reality. For example, let's take the flag, the American flag, for instance. How many of us grew up pledging our allegiance to the American flag, and somehow what the American flag symbolized in its story was justice and liberty for all? So we get caught up into that, and we believe that, and in a way we're indoctrinated to that process. Then in recent time, we hear a loudness of about issues about burning the flag, and let's make legislation that it's against the law to burn the flag, and that this flag, whatever it is symbolic of, is sacred and is precious, and we are not to damage the flag. The flag is the symbol. We protect the symbol, but we don't protect what the symbol symbolizes. And that's a danger. What we do when we get caught up and we understand a myth and we participate in the symbolization process, we step into a myth, we allow symbols to overtake us in a way to try to understand them, and we gather the principles of the myth, and we gather the principles of the symbol. And with the flag, we gather the principles of justice and liberty for all, and we bring these principles, we create a lens of how to understand life with these principles, and when we go in and we understand the story and the narrative and the symbolization of the flag, and we bring those principles out to bear upon daily life, then we get to understand, does that symbol work? Is it a sick symbol? Is it a healthy symbol? Is it a good myth? Is it a bad myth? And when we bring the lens of liberty and justice for all and bring that lens to bear upon our land today, we find that those principles of liberty and justice are not for all in our land. It depends which community you ask about. Do you feel that liberty and justice is for you? So the symbol, if we get caught up with protecting the symbol, rather than going into the symbol and grabbing the principles within the symbol and bringing them down to bear upon our daily lives, in a way we are caught up in the incomplete process. And we really can't make meaning of the symbol and how it can be of value to us. I think it's the same thing for the Easter story. The Easter story is a myth with a symbol, and we know that the Easter story has power. It has been with us in some form or another since we recognize the sun comes up and winter comes and spring comes. The Easter story has been with us that long since we have been human beings. And we have created myths and wrapped it around the Easter story about life, death, and resurrection and in new life. But when it comes to the Christian story, the Christian Easter story, which is the foundation of Unitarian Universalist tradition, so we understand that, how are we to understand the Christian Easter story when it has been turned into what I consider popularized and turned into a sick myth? And the reason I say that is that too often when we hear the story in the Christian story, we hear about the life of this first century Jewish prophet Jesus and the teachings of this first century Jewish prophet Jesus, and we like the teachings. We like those and have meaning for us. But there are sometimes when Unitarian Universalists will distance ourselves from that. But yet, that has resonance. But when we try to understand the passion narrative, when we understand the torture that's involved in this story where this man was crucified for having a value system that did not agree with the empire's value system. That's why he was executed, that there was a clash of value systems, and that he was crucified and that he was raised again from the dead. And when we hear he was raised again from the dead, we back up because that's not reality based. We want to say, well, wait a minute, we like the story and we believe he was executed. And how come those people that believe he was raised from the dead don't pay attention to state execution when they're for execution? And we kind of say, this doesn't make sense to us. But sometimes we get lost and we don't grasp the full meaning because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It has not yet come back to reality. It has not yet come back to concrete reality, and you can't jettison part of the story and make sense out of the full story. You have to keep the story intact. And we know that that story has been abused. We had a year ago a fellow by the name of John Hagee come through our town who claimed that God is love, and this is how myths and symbols become sick. God is love, and in God acting out of love, that we are to bomb another country with cruise missiles. We know that's a distortion of love, and it doesn't make sense. But yet at the same time, we look at that and we wonder, how do you go from love to destruction and make sense out of it? It's because the story, the myth that was begun in concrete reality has not yet turned itself and find itself interpreted back into concrete reality. It begins concrete reality, it must end in concrete reality. And when we look at the Easter story, what we do is we look at a man who has values that run down from 1,000 years from the beginning of the nation of Israel, that we can read it through the prophets of justice, equity, and fairness, and economic justice, and that Jesus, that prophet, was part of that tradition. The values that he espoused, the values that he taught, were the same as many of the values in Unitarian Universalism. We can glean something from this story that might be helpful to us. We can, because his concrete reality was a value system that stood against the value system of an imperialistic empire. And when we look at the Unitarian Universalist's value system, do we not find ourselves in a similar situation? Do we see our values, our 7 principles, enacted in a legislative process in our halls of justice and the halls of Congress? Do we see our values enacted by signing statements? Do we see our values enacted by executive order? And I'm not just talking about the past decade. We can look back many, many years. Sometimes it's more extreme, sometimes it's less extreme. But nonetheless, the values that that prophet Jesus was executed for are the same values we have, and we find ourselves in a similar context. So we ask ourselves today, Preacher Gregory, whoever I might be to you, what is this title, Leaving Jerusalem? Given this context that we're in, how does that make sense? I mean, what do you mean by that? And in the last years, I preached sermons called Entering Jerusalem, The Refusal to Enter Jerusalem, and Resistance to Enter Jerusalem. So now we're doing Leaving Jerusalem. Jerusalem itself is a symbol. That when this man, Jesus, entered Jerusalem, he didn't go as a blank slate. He went into Jerusalem knowing of the possible outcome. He went into Jerusalem with fear and trembling, praying not to go into Jerusalem, sweating blood, but his righteousness, who he was, called him into Jerusalem, that he had to go into Jerusalem to face his mission. His ministry, whatever values he had, and when he entered Jerusalem, his values were in direct conflict with the values that ran that city, the values that ran that overseeing empire. When he entered Jerusalem, with full awareness of betrayal. Earlier than he entered Jerusalem, during that story, there's a little story, if you know the shortest verse in the Christian New Testament, is Jesus wept. And why did Jesus weep? Jesus wept. He was on the hills above the city of Jerusalem, looking at Jerusalem, knowing of the financial and the economic difficulties that was going on, and the abuses that were going on at that time, knowing the poverty that was going on at that time, knowing the tyranny that was going on at that time, and his response was he wept. So we understand, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, he went in with the sense of being betrayed. He went in with the sense of knowing he was in the minority. He went in the sense of knowing he was an outcast from his own religious tradition because he was a rabbi and there were rabbis plotting to kill him. He knew that he was going into Jerusalem not having a value system that the empire was implementing upon the people. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem, it was not an easy decision. We too have our Jerusalems. We too have places in our own minds and places that we travel that would be considered our own Jerusalems. I remember when John Hagen came, I said, all right, I know what I'll do. I created a Bible study that sounded probably pretty much matched any general Bible study. And at the end of that Bible study, I had it naturally concluding what I wanted it to conclude, which was not in agreement with John Hagee. And so I had the big idea of standing in the line, handing the Bible study out, saying, this is the Bible study for tonight. So, big ideas. Okay. This was my Jerusalem. So I went there, and I saw the long line. I saw the security forces. I saw the police. Men, police persons, manning and protecting that. I had that fear. I did not enter my Jerusalem. I put it on a few cars and I stood with the rest of 20 of us or so there. But I did not do my Jerusalem because I was afraid. We all stand on the edges of our Jerusalems. How many of us have had our loves and our trust brutalized, taken advantage of? How many of us find ourselves in our lives with our dreams diminished, our hopes diminished? And how could that not have been his plight as well? It is our plight. And we settle for many things that are not our best selves, and we live a life that does not actualize our best self. And we settle for that, thinking that's all that there is. But when we enter Jerusalem, the light comes on those difficult spots. The light in Jerusalem will put a light on that decision I made as a child not to be this or not to be that, or to shed this dream, or this was not for me in my life. I'm not going to be able to do this in my life. This is my plight. This is what I have to settle for. But when we enter that Jerusalem, we confront those decisions. We bring that into Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place of opportunity to bring healing to our inner wounds. Jerusalem is the place of opportunity to let go of the myth we impose upon ourselves from our history. Jerusalem is the place that we can enter into when we let go of the myth that our culture imposes upon us and that we internalize and we interpret reality through that myth. In Jerusalem, we get to let go of those personal imposed myths and culturally imposed myths. And we get to feel our best self again. We get to breathe deeply again. When we experience that freedom, and when we experience that liberty, when we let the tyranny of our own personal history, we let the tyranny of our culture go, and we stand in a free state, and we begin to develop as human beings, something happens to us. A sense of compassion begins to develop. A sense of empathy begins to develop. A sense of love for the other begins to develop, birthed out of a sense of love for ourselves. This is what happens in that place of healing. We begin to love ourselves. Empathy begins to move us. Compassion begins to move us. The core of the story of Buddhism, the core of the story of Christianity, we begin to mature as human beings. We let go of those oppressive narratives and we begin to see more clearly. Just as Jack London described in that reading, we get to see what is. If we are caught up in a narrative, and if we are caught up in a myth, and we are caught up in our own personal myth, I can look at injustice and call it just. I can look at what is not loving and call it loving. Jerusalem, we let that go and we see what is. And when we look at injustice, we know what is injustice and we know what is just. When we look at intrusiveness and harmful, we know what it is. When we look at whether we have betrayed or whether we have been betrayed, we understand what it is. And we are able to walk out of that story and experience life anew. When our empathy and our compassion develops and matures and we begin to see the world as Jesus saw Jerusalem, we may also weep. But when that weeping is done, our empathy and our compassion will move us once again to that boundary where Jerusalem ends and the world begins. And our empathy will allow us to understand the plight of others. And when we bring ourselves to the edge of that city of Jerusalem, it is no longer about entering Jerusalem. It is about, do we have the courage and what it takes to leave Jerusalem and be converted to that gospel of service and to serve others. In Unitarian Universalism, when we hear the word gospel, sometimes we back up. But when we hear a humanist, Jack London, talking about the gospel of service, I don't back up, I get curious. What is he talking about, the gospel of service, the good news of service? What is he talking about? In a church, when we think about serving, we think about giving up our lives, we don't think that's good news. I think I got to go do this. I think I got to go do that. What is he talking about? The act of service is good news. To receive service is good news. To give service is good news. To make sacrifices in our lives is good news. That's what he's talking about. It is good news because now we have been through Jerusalem and we have let go of the tyranny of our history. We have let go of the tyranny of culture and we are experiencing life anew. And when we see the needs that are beyond our Jerusalems, We willingly leave Jerusalem and go out and begin a life of service. And that's the Easter story that began in concrete reality and returns to concrete reality. The concrete reality is who we are as Unitarian Universalists, leaving Jerusalem, entering the world through our empathetic awareness of the plight of others. Through the belief that we know how gods are made, comes now time to build a just world. That is our calling to service, to serve one another. And now we begin to build a just world.